Okay, welcome to the second week of the Love Hour. My name is Barry Silver, your host. I'm the Love Doctor, and I know a lot more people will be joining the call as they go forward, so those who missed the initial part can catch it later. This intention for this hour is to, each week is to have a chance, once to show a chapter of my book, to give a theme for the week, but then to spend the rest of the hour in dialogue with you as to whatever questions you have about relationship romance and love. If you're single or in a relationship, either way works. This call is generally for everybody, although it seems like mostly women have signed up, which is my general audience, so I'm not pretty upset with that. If men join in, it's okay as well. And I will start, as I mentioned, with the chapter of the week. For those of you who were on the call last week, there was I decided to start with chapter two. I'm going to use chapter one later on, and if you've got the book in physical form or ebook from one of the summits, you can read it at your own leisure. But right now, because it's week two, I'm reading chapter three, which hopefully makes sense. Now, if you're in a relationship, this can apply, and if you're not in one, you can look back at your last one as reference. So that's the intention is. So, from 50 Ways to Love Your Lover, chapter three, there is always more to having romance, more depth, more intimacy, more love, more fun, more connection, and more and more. Yes, it's true. Relationships are never closed-ended. There is always more available, more to share, more to embrace, more to enjoy. This is good news if you're ready for truly authentic and deep romance. In fact, if you want and are ready for deeper connection, greater love, more passion, and fulfilling relationship, you're in luck. Because there's always more to embrace, to love, and to share in romance. You might have had a wonderful relationship in your past and think it may never happen again. It can, and it will. And it can be a lot more fulfilling and amazing than anything you've experienced in your past, in fact. For each and every one of us, there is always more love to share, more joy and connection to grow and express. This is very refreshing and exciting news if you have found yourself despondent about having a good relationship or feeling that all the good ones are taken. Truth is, there's always someone great to be with, someone to share with, someone to grow with, and someone to explore life with. For some, that may seem overwhelming. For others, it is a blessing and something to keep you excited and enthralled with romance. I suspect you are firmly in the latter category, as by reading this book, I can tell you have a desire for more depth in your love life, and certainly in your romance and relationship. So how do you embrace more and more and more? Simply, you're open to it. Yes, simply be open, be receptive, and be willing to grow with your partner. More intimacy, be open and share and receive. More depth, be open and explore and trust. More connection, be open and let your partner in deeper. More love, be open, let your heart guide you, and let the love in as well as out. Sometimes we forget it's a two-way process. Actually, you may realize that these invitations are all interconnected. By continually being open, yes, opening your heart, you attract deeper and deeper romance. All that you wish for, all that is available, is yours. When your love for the discovery of new aspects of your partner becomes a pleasure and a gift you seek, you have moved from being in love with your partner to loving your partner with a deeper sense of honoring and appreciation that takes your own love to a much more profound and vibrant level. You're in loving with your partner, which is a much deeper and profound level of romance, more and more. So that's the chapter. And a couple of points I want to bring to the table is that something in the back of my mind recently in conversations with a couple of clients is that some of the history has been, let's just say, more painful than pleasurable. So this chapter is really specifically for those who are looking to make their relationship richer and more powerful with someone who's in that journey with them. Because for some individuals, being in a relationship with someone where there's more to have can be more challenging because the other person is closed off. So this chapter is really more intended for those of you in partnership, those who are attracting partnership, which ideally you all are, that will be growing, expanding continuously. So that's I stand with that discussion. I do invite again your questions. We have plenty of time to talk. So if you want to just pop in to ask a question with this system, what you have to do is hit 5-star, and that will mark the phone for me so I know that you have a question. So 5-star will put you in Q&A mode, and I'll respond by opening up the call, and we can chat. So any questions you have for this? In fact, let me rewind a bit. The chapter was about having more to explore, more to have in a relationship. However, if you have other questions about relationship, I'm open to those as well, because that's my role, to support you and help you have what you want. So if you have any questions about relationship, romance, being single, or being a couple, you can put those on the table too. So again, hit 5-star when you have a question, and I'll open up the call and we can talk. If anybody wants to talk, because I can probably count something. No question. Hang on 1 second. Hi, I see a 206 prefix.
Hi, Barry. This is Kat Kim.
Hi, how are you?
Hi, I'm good. we just met on social media, and I just thought, you know what, I'm going to check out this wonderful call that you're offering. And
thank you.
I might as well just raise my hand.
well, thank you for doing so.
I haven't read the book, so I don't have it in front of me, but this topic of relationships and romance I don't want to say big on my mind. I want to say new, because I think I'm not very familiar with what romance actually is. So I've been
not
in...
Familiar.
No, I think that's what I've came to understand and realize, is that I don't know what romance really is, probably because I didn't grow up with it and it wasn't shown to me. And also in hindsight, looking back at my relationships, I feel like a lot of that was missing. So I am single, and I want to really take this time to explore this topic of romance.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and explore the idea of what a healthy relationship is too. So I don't know if that's a question or a statement there. It's probably
if I can have a couple of things. One is that those intentions are very healthy to have, first of all. And the fact you're aware of them is a great stepping stone, because the awareness opens the door to curiosity and opens the door to possibility. So you're in the right place,
mm-hmm.
in your own journey to have that.
Mm-hmm.
One thing I talk about in my work quite a lot, and it came up a lot in the last time I was on, talked about, because you said about how you didn't get raised as far as you were with romance, and
yeah.
that you haven't experienced your past relationships. There is definitely a, there's definitely a, there's a word in my head that's not trying to articulate. Basically, what you're experiencing in life is often reflected from what you were growing up with. So if you didn't have romance in your experience by your parents, or to the
yeah.
opportunity to explore it, doesn't necessarily show up as easily as an adult when you're in your own relationship. So I understand that feeling, and that's not good or bad, just what is. But the
mm-hmm.
fact you have a choice
yeah.
and a curiosity to have that is a good sign, because you now have an intention there.
Yeah, I picked up very, very unhealthy relationship patterns from my parents, and I see that, and I'm fully aware of it. So I know that absolutely my truth, that I picked it up. And so that's exactly where I'm at now, where I want to learn what a healthy relationship is, explore what, you know, romance looks like without having a huge commitment. I think I'm afraid that if I get into a romantic relationship, that it has to turn into marriage.
Okay. I understand. No, I understand, because the thing is, if you get back to the values or what you're used to, romance and marriage can be those things that don't seem separation. So let me speak to things I'm aware of from my perspective that may or may not fit. I come from a background, being from England and also being raised in a family with parents, that as much as there was, I can look back and see the gaps in the perfection, it wasn't perfect. I also saw that my parents were very loving to each other, and I don't know, romance seemed to be in the air. And it wasn't like my parents were always doing flowers and everything else, but there was an energetic between them. It was very romantic. So I grew up the sense that any relationship I was going to be in, regardless of marriage or not, romance was part of the story, because the quality of relationship for me was that when I'm with a partner, that is romance. That being a relationship with somebody that's not romantic isn't a relationship, it's just friendship. So for me, the romantic tendency, well, because romance is something about, let me back up.
Mm-hmm.
If you're with somebody intimately, physically, that's basically friends with benefits.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been there too, so I understand that part can be fun and enjoyable, but not always fulfilling. But romance is a way of being together that can be the, going for walks hand in hand, public displays of affection. It could also be going and doing fun exploration things together with intimacy. So it's not always about sexual connection. It's about a heart connection, and romance is where it's really a heart-based expression from my understanding. There's lots of old black and white movies that are very romantic and other things too. There's also lots of layers, because romance in its own context is a way you can live life in general, regardless of who you're with. So the intention of this conversation is about how to have romance in your relationship, your primary relationship, that may not lead to marriage, depending on what you're choosing. So none of this is in stone. You have flexibility.
Mm-hmm. That's lovely.
That give you some help.
Yeah, absolutely. I like the idea of allowing myself to deepen into a relationship that has romance in it. It's a new concept, and I like it. Thank you.
Well, good. I mean, my book has a lot of things about romance in it, although it covers a whole gamut of things about relationship and romance, sexual connection, polarity, other things too, so that can help. But also, I mean, my work is a lot about that too, because since my focus is on loving relationship, which for me includes romance, if you have any questions, certainly I can support you with that. And if you want to talk further one-on-one, you can always reach out on, well, I'd say do it through my website versus Facebook, because I can schedule it through my site. There's actually an option on the site called Romance Review, which is really the consult. You can look it up that way. But if you have questions now, I can obviously answer any more you have, if you've got something to think with. If you have things that you're pondering and you don't want to move forward. Sorry, after you.
This was... Oh, sorry. this is good. I'm really intentionally wanting to take my time in this area and not wanting to rush myself into a relationship. This is my space. I feel like I've created to explore, what I really want in my partner, or what I really want from a relationship. Because I think in my past relationships, I didn't really consider that what I wanted. It was just more of two people just came together and, happened to be in a relationship, and it wasn't good. So
it's more of a chemical attraction, you'd say?
I think it was, not necessarily a chemical attraction. I would say it was more, if I really want to be transparent, I grew up, with a lot of self-image and confidence issues, and I didn't have a lot of, admirers as I was a teen and in my 20s, and so I was very, I thought of myself as very ugly and fat. And I think what happened was when someone came into my life, and I also grew up in a very abusive environment too, so just to give you a little background. So when someone came into my life and they expressed that they cared about me and they admired me and they wanted to be with me, I think for me it was like, oh, someone cares. And I thought that was, that was how the relationship, my relationships start. And I haven't really been in many, actually. So
I get it. So let me, okay, so I just want to check back what I say. So it sounds like through your upbringing, what you were aware of yourself, anyone who showed interest in you was kind of like this is the good news. This is like jump on. Someone must step into that more easily than being as selective as you could have been.
Yeah, I think it was that when someone finally did show interest in me, it made me feel really good.
Mm-hmm.
It made me feel like, oh, someone cares and someone really, really wants to be with me. And so that was what the attraction was, to answer your question. It, you know, that's what drew me to this person. It ended up being very emotionally abusive, but I didn't know the difference. I thought that was just the way that relationships were supposed to be, because that's how it was. You know, that's how it was shown to me through my parents. So, so I repeated the pattern of my parents
mm-hmm.
over and over until I realized, okay, this is not, it doesn't have to be this way. So that's where I'm at now. And instead of just being in a relationship to be in it, I do want to explore the vast possibilities of feeling, you know, the word you said is deepen, which resonates with me right now. I want to feel like the deepening of a relationship or a deepening of me in a relationship with somebody.
Mm-hmm.
I think that would that'd be quite lovely.
Well, I hope so, yes. That's why I recommend it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, then one thing I'd say, as I'm thinking, reflecting back, as you know, social media, you may have seen my post lately. I'm actually on a tele summit right now called Self Love mm-hmm. to Attract Love, which seems very apropos as what we're talking about. Self Love to Attract Love mm-hmm. is the theme. And my interview is airing this week, and it's a video interview. And I do remember when I was talking with the host of the teleconference or the summit about the way that we tend to portray or experience relationship based upon our history and how we don't know necessarily that loving is different from what we grew up with, because as kids,
mentioned
this before, we are sponges for what is given to us by our environment, our universe, our life around us. So
mm-hmm.
if the love in a family was demonstrated through a filter of abuse or sort of neglect or some other sense, then we will have the association of the two together. So when we grow up and then we'll start looking at relationships, we won't do this consciously. This is not the way it works in our mind. But in our subconscious mind, we are attracting someone to us who will love us through that same filter or through the same lens, so that we will think that's appropriate. And that's where we don't understand about self-care and know that we can make a different choice. So I understand exactly what you're talking about, and I know that you have a choice that you're making to shift out of that model, which is great.
Yeah, that's exactly – that's precisely where I'm at right now. And so it's – you know – when you grow up in that environment, you really don't know anything. I don't know anything other than that type of environment where two people are nasty to each other and they say mean things. So learning how to be in a healthy relationship is actually a process of learning. Like it's a study for me, it is right now.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's where I'm at.
Yeah.
I'm studying, learning about what, you know, romance is, what deepening actually means, and what being vulnerable and communicating in a healthy way looks like in a healthy relationship. And so, yeah, and I'm giving myself time to do that. I think that's what I need.
Well, let me, I just want to say a couple of things, because and so I almost want to like stand up and cheer for you right now, because what you've said is so powerful, because you've set an intention out, which is huge.
Mm-hmm.
You basically, by saying the fact about learning about vulnerability, about what it can be different, just shows to me the fact you're aware of it. Because, and I say this, a lot of people in the world in relationships are unconscious about what they're doing. It's just they're on
mm-hmm.
autopilot and they're doing what's next.
Yeah.
And the fact you, like many of my friends and audience and clients, have said, hang on a second, isn't something better than this? And that's what you're saying. So you're actually seeing there is an opportunity. So I'm really, I won't say proud, because I don't know you that well, but in terms of being honored that you've chosen that path and however I can support you, please let me know, because I absolutely want to see you have what you want. That's what my passion is about.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you very much. Yeah, I didn't know. I mean, let me be clear. I did not know I was, though. I didn't know. I was very unconscious and very unaware of it not too long ago, and very stuck But I got myself out, which was really hard. It's hard to break free from something that you know your entire life. And
right.
But I did it, and so I'm in this new space of just allowing, and it feels good to have that space. It feels really good, just breathing.
Mm-hmm. I can feel that.
Yeah.
Well, just so you know as well, for anybody listening to the call, my life wasn't perfect in my history either. So I've been through my own fair share of dysfunctional relationships. I'm grateful I didn't go through any other things with abusive things or anything like that. But the lessons I learned really put me on the path to what I now teach. And I do also find in my book, and in fact, I will say, if you find the link to that telesummit on my Facebook page, once on there, watch the video, because I talk about it in there. And as you find in my book, in the summit, I do offer my book in ebook format as a free download. In fact, people who have been on this
call
have gotten the book from that way too. So that's two banks for the buck, as it were. Because the video should be running all week, I believe, what I was told. So it should be able to log in. Once you sign up, you can just get the link straight away to watch the interview, and then the link is there for the book as well.
Excellent. Thank you, Barry.
My pleasure. So is there anything else?
No, I don't. I feel like I'm hogging all your time. So. Thank you.
There's no other people asking for questions right now, so the queue looks
quiet. Oh, it's just me.
So you're okay. But I'm pretty sure I'll put you back on the mute again, and we'll talk soon.
Okay, sure. Thanks, Barry.
You're welcome. Okay. Anyone else have any questions? I know it's been quiet in the queue apart from this. A couple other people who are in the queue. It's not a very lot. A lot of people who are interested in being on the calls, there are not many people are actually showing up today, which is fine. They can watch it, they listen to the recording. But since there is a lot of competition, if you want to ask a question, it's a perfect time to jump in. So feel free to raise your hand. Again, it's 5-2 raise your hand to get in the queue. And I'll wait for a couple of minutes. Hello. This is Gail?
Yes, okay. I didn't
remember
what I had to hit to unmute myself. Okay, I loved the girl that was just talking, okay?
Nice.
I said to myself I wasn't going to ask questions about my dysfunction. I was just thinking, I desire to be with a wonderful man, and I didn't know what to ask you, and I wanted to get something out of this call. So when she mentioned about romance, I heard someone say that I should get some beautiful stationery and a beautiful pen and start writing him, whoever he will be, write him notes, write him loving letters. And so I've been doing that. And when you spoke to her, I'm not really sure if you said something about trying to put romance in your life as a single woman, but that's what I thought of. That's what I heard in my mind.
Right.
So what else could you suggest that single women do to put romance in their lives to energy to attract or emerge, whatever the word really is, someone that would be good for us?
That's a nice question to ask, and it certainly does open up a range of ideas. The first one you mentioned already, which you said about writing love letters basically to your future partner.
But that's
certainly not a bad idea. It's actually a nice thing to do because it puts your heart in a new space, which is wonderful. So that's a nice step to do. In terms of other ideas, I have a whole bunch that I I was thinking ahead. In my book, chapter 10, it talks about having getting creative with romance, and basically I don't recommend going on to online doing a web search for it, but that's really for anything in a relationship. But some of the things that are in my list, and I'm actually going to free download based from my book about romantic ideas, quite a few of them can be done solo. They don't have to be in a couple. But things I recommend just right off the top of my head. To do things that are romantic is take yourself out for a romantic dinner on your own. Now, you have to do this with the willingness to have a immunity to other people's weird looks. Because you can go out to a nice restaurant, have candles, and have dinner, and just enjoy yourself with yourself company. Now, at home, one thing I know that I've actually had two of my clients do, which has been wonderful to attract the relationship, is they would actually set the dining table at home for two. And they actually would set up two settings and candles and have romantic music and have a bottle of wine and actually have a romantic dinner with themselves, but having the space for their partner. So those are romantic gestures you can do on your own time, your own space, that can open up the energetic for being attractive to being in availability for partnership. There's a whole bunch of things in the area of feng shui, I'm not sure that's the way of saying it, but in the art of spatial awareness that I know people that teach this stuff, but basically the things I've learned is if your closet is packed to the walls with your clothes, you don't have room to entertain somebody else. So figuratively, literally, if you make space in your life for a relationship, which includes like emptying out one drawer in your dresser, nothing goes in it. I mean, until somebody shows up who fits that role. But to have an empty drawer in your dresser or have some space in your closet that can have room for some hangers for clothes that are not yours creates an availability for romance, for space for a relationship. So that's not necessarily romance specifically, but it is a creation of space to entertain romantic partnership. But doing things that are romantic that you would do with a partner, that can be creative ideas. And again, I have a free download. It's called Adventures in Romance. It was an assortment of ideas I found on the web, and I made it into one little booklet, which is a download that you can find in chapter 10 of my book, that basically gives you 150 different things you can play with, some of which you need a partner for, some of which you don't. But those are ideas you can get creative with that will give you the romantic air about you that will become very attractive. But one of those things, say, sounds simple, but dinner, having a space at home that is inviting to a partnership is also romantic and has energy. And when you're out in the world, being that energetic of being in partnership, just carrying the air with you, it's almost like being in a preemptive space for attracting the relationship. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Yes, definitely. Thank you very much.
Oh, absolutely. It was fun. I could help. I think you have my book in digital format, so you should be able to find in the chapter a link through to that download. It's in chapter 10, so just a reading ahead.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
And I'll talk to you soon. And we're talking tomorrow, aren't we?
Yes.
So we can talk further. Great. Yeah, I've been in my calendar. Okay. I'm going to mute again. Thank you for your question.
You're very welcome. Thank you.
All right. Okay. So any more questions? Again, 5-star is what you hit to get in the queue to ask your question. I've had a couple of good ones so far. And if you have another question that you've already asked, if either one of you two have already gone in, question again, there's not being a rush for the Q&A session, so you can jump in again if you have another question. And if someone else has jumped in, feel free to. Again, 5-star is how you get into the queue. Kat.
Hi.
Hi.
I'll take advantage of this time together.
please do.
Yeah. So, what would you say are good ways to get to understand what I do want in a relationship? I know dating is probably a very important part of it. Would you say is that true? Is dating the way to understand and get to know what type of guy I like?
That's a loaded question. So let me unpack it a little bit. Dating is a great way to test drive relationships. And if you look at it from that viewpoint, it can be healthy. If you go into dating where your heart gets attached to any person you meet, it can be more cumbersome, more clumsy than that. But the truth is, dating is a way to explore. Now, I'm not a big fan of dating per se. I'd rather say before you get to that point, there's a whole lot you can do to really get to know what you really want.
Thank goodness. Because I'm not a big fan of dating either.
Oh, I see. Now you have a hidden agenda behind it. I see now.
No. I actually don't want to go on dates. But I feel like that's gotten me into trouble because then it ends up just being, I'm closing my options down, I think. I don't know. It's okay. Tell me, what do you have?
I love that you're ready to jump right in. It's great. I have a program that I mentioned a few times that is a 12-week program, and in that I have a whole bunch of practices to help you really get clear about what you want, because there's so many ways you can find out stuff on the website. I'm like, okay, how much should I throw at you? Bottom line is that knowing what you want is key, yes. So asking that question about what you really want is important. So there are many tools and techniques to help you get clear about what you do want. A couple I can give to you now just as ideas to start with. Have you ever heard of a vision board?
Yes.
Okay. So a vision board for a lot of people is something they do for their whole life. But if you do one specifically for your relationship, if you start with a big piece of poster board and then you don't know what's put on it, you know you've got problems because you need to know some clarity to start with.
Yeah.
So by browsing through magazines and other visual medium and seeing pictures of couples together or scenes in life that you go, that's what I want in a relationship, that gives you some ideas that come forward. It's a starting point to build from. Another piece I work with is, and this is something I put in the beginning of the program, it's actually in my video series I talk about this too. If you are willing to simply look at all the things in the past that didn't work, and you make a list of those. Now, this is part of a bigger piece. So some people say you shouldn't do this alone. And it's true. You don't do this on its own, but it helps build the journey. Take a sheet of paper.
Yeah.
Several sheets of paper. Draw a line down the middle. And on one side of the paper, it can be on the left or the right, depending on your preference, start writing out the things that you didn't like about your past relationships. And if it involves things like being abandoned or neglected or abused or whatever it is, write those things down. It could be even simple. And ideally, it's the simple things too, like never on time or didn't bring me flowers on my birthday or something. Whatever those things are, write those things down on the list until you exhaust that side. And you keep going and keep going, and you might find yourself stalling a couple of times, but just keep going with it until you end up being emptied out. When you have done that, and take a breath and take a breather, take a glass of water and walk around a bit first, you sit down with the paper again, and on the other side of the paper, on the other side of the line, write down the positive aspects of that. So if you have someone who was never on time, then the other side you might write someone who's punctual or was on time or early. If someone doesn't text you in the middle of the day or doesn't remind you how much they love you, on the other side you write someone who's always loving and attracted to me. So you start building out a beginning set. This is a groundwork level thing. It's at the beginning stage of things that you want based on what you didn't want. So if you don't have clarity yet about what you really want, you can start with the inverse of what you didn't like, because that gives you the opposite, and that's the starting point. But when you've done that, that's when you start really looking at, okay, so what did that feel like? What is it I really want from that? That'll help you rebuild your ideal, your vision board into a new level. But also when you start doing the work that I work with, you get to really deepen into, okay, what is really valuable to me? What are the absolute must-haves? Because there are some things that are absolute must-have in a relationship, and there are some things that are not so important. And you'll start deciding for yourself, okay, this one is a deal breaker. I don't have this, I can't have a relationship. Another thing to say, if I don't have that, that's a deal breaker. So if someone, for example, if you take care of something, you exercise and stuff, and you don't like smoking, being somebody who smokes may be a deal breaker. Maybe not, depending on your preference. But then there also might be things where if a person, isn't always on time, that may not be such a critical thing, you can take it off your list of must-haves, but it may be some new preference. So then what happens is you have this this checklist in a way, although I mentioned
mm-hmm.
much more internal than that. And you're not going to go up and meet every guy you meet and go, okay, check off on this list if you fit the criteria, because that's not going to work. But if you know inside yourself what is really important to you, you'll start to pick up very quickly when you meet somebody if they match what you want, if they don't match what you want, and you know pretty quickly. So that's a starting point to work with.
Yeah. This will be very powerful for me. I do this type of work. I've done it with, you know, so many other parts of my life, but I know I have a block in relationships specifically, so I never thought about doing this with relationships. I think it's brilliant. I think it's going to be brilliant, and I have a long list of things that I don't like. And
so, the good news is that you can start with that, and then you can flip it into what you do want. So it's a good starting point. Again,
right. There's
more to do, but this will give you a great foundation to build from.
I think it's brilliant. The positive aspect of looking for the positive aspect of what I don't like. I think that's great.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Of course. You're very welcome.
I have my thumbs up. You don't see it, but I have my thumbs up right now.
That doesn't show through the conference call, no.
So I want to let you know.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that.
Mm-hmm.
I can offer things that can be of help to you. So, all right. Anything else at the moment?
Nope, I'm good.
All right, I'll put you back on mute a second. Thank you. Okay. So anyone else who wants to jump in the call, they hit 5-star to ask a question. Another 20 minutes at most on the call, because I did commit it to an hour at the top. And if it doesn't go that long, we can cut short too. So if you have a question, jump in right now. Again, hit 5-star to ask, and we'll take it away from there. Whole quiet silence. Well, since you're thinking about if you can ask questions or not, let me throw some more things into your awareness. As I mentioned earlier to Kat, I'm in a summit right now, which some of you may actually heard about me from, I'm not sure, but there's a summit that started last week called the Self Love to Attract Love Summit, and the website is selflovetoattractlove.com. If you haven't signed up for that, I do recommend it. There's 17 experts, I believe, and I'm kind of humbled that I'm the only guy out of all the experts, all the rest of women, and it runs through June. So each speaker gets 1 week airing of their video, and it's video summit, not a telesummit, which just calls you up to see the people. And I'm the second one up, which is this week. And as I mentioned, again, I did cover quite a bit of territory in the hour conversation. So if you haven't gotten on that call, I recommend signing up for it. One, you get to see me on camera. How exciting. Secondly, you get to be in very spontaneous conversation, which a lot about the conversation was that Mary Jane, who was hosting, we didn't set up a preamble or a question to start with. So we went wherever we went, and she was hitting me some good questions, which I loved. It kept me on my toes. So definitely enjoyable. And again, if you don't have my book yet, in ebook format at least, if you do go to that summit, there is a free download of my book. I give it out on the Toronto Summit as my gift. So you can get the book to read and catch up and read ahead as you want to. In other news, I did mention, you may have heard me mention with Gail that we're talking tomorrow. I have got some space in my calendar for a few more romance reviews, which is basically a consult, a complimentary 40-minute conversation. So instead of being on the call like this in public, it's private to you and me, usually on the phone because most of my clients aren't local. So if you want to do that, if you go to my website, which is theloveconfidant.com, which you probably have links in the emails and back and forth you've seen of mine, there's in the navigation bar, there is a link which says Romance Review. Click on that, and then you can enter in there your request to have a session with me. And then after you do that, you get an email back with a scheduling request, and you can schedule a time. So that's an option as well. Also, as I mentioned, I have a video series on my homepage, which is a 3 keys to attracting the love you really want and what you put in the way of that. which for some of you may be very useful. If you sign up for that, you get a video each day for 3 or 4 days, which will help you get some clarity and some steps and some actual homework. Actually, I call it heart work, because homework is so school-age stuff, and I don't do that anymore. But I offer some heart work to help you really clarify and focus on what you want to have. So that's another resource to provide for you free as well. And of course, I have my coaching and programs, which I'll talk about later, because that's not what I'm offering this point. So nobody's put their hand up. Well, if that's the way it's going to be, I'm going to wrap up the call now. Not that I have a problem with that. But I do thank, I thank Gail and I thank Kat for being bold and stepping onto the call. For those of you who didn't step up, maybe next week you'll do that. But thank you again for joining the call. The Love Hour is every week. And I'm going to put up the replay so you can hear it if you didn't get the call live. If this time slot at 5 o'clock on Tuesday does not work for a lot of you, I don't know if it does or not because you haven't told me, I am willing to move the time to a different one that fits my calendar too, so that we can have more people on the call, because I know a lot of people have signed up for this who haven't joined the call yet. So this is my request. If 5 o'clock on Tuesday afternoon, 5 o'clock Pacific time, doesn't fit your calendar very well, you have a better time, excuse me, that fits, email me back from the, you're on my email list, so you can just send an email back to me. Let me know which time and dates work best for you. And if I can find consensus, because it is consensus-based, the majority of you do, in fact, find the time that works, I will move the call accordingly. But Love Hour is going to continue, my intention, every week for a year, because there's 50 principles in my book to start with, and then beyond that, we'll see. So, that being said, thank you for joining on the call. Thank you for asking your questions, and thank you for participating. And this is Barry Selby, and I'll talk to you next week. Thank you so much. Bye.